السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. آج
حضور says, these days we receive many family complaints. There are quarrels within the families. Sometimes there are so bad and deeply hurting affairs that one is amazed, and there are so many affairs come to light, come to the fore about the in-laws and the wife and the husband, that if there is no command of Allah that fazakir, that you should admonish them, admonishment always is helpful, otherwise one will lose hope. That let's forget about these wayward people. But according to the command of Allah to admonish people, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Messiah and Mahdi's as a representative of him, that we do pay attention to admonishing people, those who have believed in the Imam of the time, that certainly there was some seed of decency, as a result of which the bud has sprouted, that they have believed in Ahmadiyyat and are adhering to it. Therefore, according to the command of Allah, whatever duty we are charged with, by trying to discharge our duty, that you should admonish and Allah will bless it. I hoping that Allah will put blessing in it, I will try to say something on this topic. May Allah create effect in my words, that the houses which are breaking, they become a heavenly place. And I have been reminding in various sermons, but today I will try to do my duty by in more detail. As I said, through letters or by listening to some quarrels, one is becomes very restless, that our aims are so high, and how by involving and tangling ourselves in small irrelevant matters, we are making our homes a place of disturbance. And rather than doing our positive duty and action, we are doing negative effort. Whosoever is creating these problems, whichever party influenced by his ego, are trying to create trouble for himself, for the other party, and for the organization of the Jamaat. May Allah give them intelligence, and they must understand. They understand this purpose for which Allah had raised the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, "The work for which Allah has appointed me is this: that whatever disagreement has created between Creator and between His creation, that I should establish their love and their sincerity once again." He says that Allah has sent me in the world so that with the forbearance and for gently, I should pull people towards their Creator. And the light that which I have been given, I should show the right path for the people. Man needs this, that he should find such evidence as a result of which he is become certain that God does exist. So this is the great purpose, and each Ahmadi should try to search out how to fulfill it. And no Ahmadi who cannot help his aim, as long as he does not free himself from his own egoistic entanglement. He does not act on those holy guidance which promised Messiah has given it to us. If in our home we cannot see the sights of gentleness and of a high moral value, how will we show path to the misguided people? We are included among those lost people who have become lost from our own path. Therefore, every Ahmadi should examine himself and should examine his situation in the home, that have we not moved away from the teachings of the Holy Quran? Have we unconsciously moved away from the teaching of promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam? Are we not caught in the net of our own egos? the boy will also have to examine this, and also the girl should, the husband should, and the wife should, and both the in-laws should. Because the complaint sometimes comes from the boy and sometimes from the girl. Sometimes the boys are committing excesses, or sometimes the girls are doing it. But mostly the excesses are committed by the boys' side. I told Amir Sahab recently that so many of these things which are mutual quarrels, you should examine how far the boys are liable and how far are the girls mistaken, and how far the parents try to explain to them and resolve the problems. If there is the fault lies with the girl, then if it's a 1-to-3 ratio between the mistakes of the girls and the boys, mostly the problems are arising from the boys' side, and about 30 or 40% affairs are being affected by the in-laws and the parents. The parents of the girls have less responsibility, and by trying to show their superiority, the parents of the boy make such talk, as a result of which the girls are upset and they go back to their own home. It is the responsibility of the boy to serve his parents, but they should also do their duty towards their wives. If this will happen, then the wives will generally serve their husband and their parents. With the grace of Allah, there are so many examples in the mosque that the mother-in-law looks after their son-in-laws more than their own children. It does not mean that the moral values are lost. Mostly the majority of the people are virtuous, but the example that come in view, they create trouble, and that why should that be? The checking that I have done here, if in Canada, America or Europe they carry out such surveys, then they will see the same situation. Therefore, everywhere the tarbiyah department, that is the training department, should in the jamaat and also in the auxiliary organization, should be much more active. Islam has given us such an attractive teaching to establish the homely relations and to create an atmosphere of love and affection. One is amazed and saddened that such people who are entangled in the nets of their own egos, they create problems with the two homes and two events, two families, and also create problems for their offsprings. May Allah have mercy. The Islamic marriage, or the announcement of that joining of the men and women, that we are being knit up in the relationship of husband and wife, if they will try to act upon those commands of Allah which has been recited during the nikah, and if we will act upon these verses of the Holy Quran which have been recited at the time of our engagement and marriage, so that we can mold our life accordingly. And the first admonishment is that you should follow righteousness and fear of God. If you will act upon it, at the time of engagement, and we give acceptance of the engagement under these commands. In fact, your Lord, who right from your birth, rather before that, has kept in mind to fulfill all your needs, and has fulfilled all the needs. If you will keep love and fear of this Lord, you will also do such acts which are to His approval. And as a result of that, you will be beneficiary of His blessings. When with a covenant and a contract, when the wife and husband have been linked with each other and have resolved and taken covenant to fulfill each other's rights and do their duty to each other, then to create better situation among these relations, then you will also keep in view the responsibility to each other's relations. You must remember, then you will look after each other and will keep in view the feelings of each other and would be looking after the relations and are honoring them and are giving them respect. Then to create fissures in relationships, all efforts will be defeated, because sometimes outside influences are also influencing it. If your basis will be to follow righteousness and Allah, then protects the righteous from the satanic attacks. If there will be good relation between the wife and the husband, then the one who is inciting them, no matter how close relation he is, no matter how influential he is, then he will be given this reply, that husband will say, "I know my wife," and wife will say, "I know my husband, and you have been mistaken. We can resolve our difference right away." Whichever such a person will create the matter to the other party, that is something against one party to the other, if he is true, he will never say that I will ask my husband or my wife, or I haven't said, so that you start questioning me. Once you have said something, the one who says you have not said, you can see, you will understand that he's creating fissures and differences and distances between them, and he's telling lies. If one has sympathy and he wants to resolve their differences, he will also say such words which will strengthen the relationship between husband and wife. Therefore, the wives and husband firstly should always keep in view that they have to keep righteousness in view, and to strengthen their relationship they have to pray to God, and they have to respect each other's relations and honor them. And whenever you hear something, no matter he is from the closest relations, husband and wife should sit together and with love and affection should clarify the situation, so that the one who has told lies, it can be made clear. If you will continue to do this, then will create differences and accept them, then accepting, creating hatred and creating distances between you, you will get nothing. sometimes influenced by others or by influence by the society and surroundings. They sometimes make very extreme allegations because they don't have fear of God in the attraction of getting married second times. Some people, they easily blame the first wife, that if you have to marry again, and if there is lawfully you are allowed, then you should marry again. But you must not give bad name to the previous wife. If you are doing that only to rid herself of, that if I will make, she will take the divorce herself, and I will be saved from my dowry which I haven't paid. This is also lowly stand. And it is the duty of the qaza department, the jurisprudence, that they should resolve it. And also, one is also bound by the law of land that they have to pay her maintenance money. I am telling you some general matters. Sometimes some people, the house they have bought with the money of the wife, they make that house in their own name when they are separated. They, in the legal view, they may be eligible for that, but in the sight of Allah, they are committing a clear sin. Allah says, even if you have given a treasure to your wife, you must not take it back. Let alone that whatever belongs to the wife, you try to confiscate that and possess it. Sometimes the men who find excuses, they are allege that the wives do not obey, they do not accept, listen to them. Or that not only she does not respect my parents, she also disgraces them, is disrespectful and quarrels my brothers and sisters, and incite children against me. Or talking to the neighbors, my things give me bad name. And there are clear commandments of God in this connection. Allah says, واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن وعزهن وهجرهن في المزاجع واضربوهن. And if you think that the wives are rebelling, you should admonish them first. Then you can leave them alone in the beds, and if you have the need, punish them physically. That is, the first thing is try to make the matter clear to them and admonish them. If they do not, if they fail and they have committed excesses and you are getting a bad name around you, then you are given permission to be harsh. But to making it an excuse with the little things, you, to be unjust to the wife, you are not allowed to beat them, and sometimes they beat so much that they wound them. This is most wicked act. You should always keep this hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ in view. He says that even if you ever have a need to do physically punish her, then it should be such that you should not mark the body anywhere. That with the excuse that you shouted in front of me, why did you cook the bread like for me in this way? Sometimes these are little matters. Or why did you talk in front of my father, and why did you speak in that way? You are not allowed to beat her or give her physical punishment for these things. Therefore, you do not try to mold Allah's commands to your own wishes and have fear of God. Then Allah says further, that if your wife has taken an extreme action and you need to punish her, remember that you should not have malice in your heart. When they submit you fully, then you must not commit excess against her. فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَاكُمْ فَلَا تَعْزِلُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا. That if they submit to you, you have no reason to go against them. Allah is most wise and is great. Remember that if you are thinking you are more powerful than you, your wife, Allah is more powerful than you. The wife has some station before you, rather it's equal status, but you are irrelevant compared to God and therefore have fear of God. And stop such acts, evil acts. Then we are also, such matters are also coming in view in the fore, that they had the marriage and immediately they start dislikes and disagreements. And they say, why did you marry? And this number is increasing in these countries. Maybe Ahmadis are also taken on an influence of other. Rather, Allah has enabled the Ahmadis to join the Jamaat of promised Messiah to give them His own color of attributes. What should have been that you should live together, even if the marriage was not to your liking, you should understand each other, reflect and ponder over this admonition on which you have taken this pledge of nikah, that you should follow righteousness. Even then, if you doing all this, the dislike increasing, you should take some action. But first is you should establish, you should appoint some people from each other's families. You should reflect and ponder, and there are different type of commands in this respect, how to reconcile. But unfortunately, that right from the, although it is very few instances, but right from the first day, the girls make a demand that we have married, but I don't want to live with him. When we find out the facts that either the boy or the girl, under the pressure of their parents, had married, but he wanted to marry somewhere else, so the parents should reflect and must not destroy the family of the boys and girls. There are a large number of boys who have come to these countries marrying from Pakistan or India, and when they have the permanent residence, they start finding excuses to separate from the wife, and they start committing excesses against them and being unjust to her. Allah says, فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُوهُنَّ فَسَعَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرُهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Before this, it says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and then the other verse that I recited, that you should live with them nicely and with the better treatment. It is possible that what you dislike, Allah can put a lot of good in it for you. Therefore, once you have married, then the decency demands that you should tolerate each other, be good to each other, understand each other, and follow Allah's fear. Allah says, if by submitting to command of Allah, you will be good to each other, then apparent dislike can change into what you like, and you can get far more good out of it, because you don't know the unseen, and Allah knows the unseen and has all powers, and He can put good and a blessing in it. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First says, once I learnt about the boy that he is not treating his wife properly and he is disrespectful to her. I met him on the way, and in this, under the light of this verse, I explained to him. He went straight back to his wife, his home, and said to his wife, "You know that I have treated you disrespectfully, but today Hazrat Maulana Nuruddin Sahib has opened my eyes, and now I will be good to you and kind to you." Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the First says, after that Allah blessed them with so many bounties that they had four beautiful children, and they lived happily, had four children, four boys, and were four sons, and they were they started living happily. So Allah gives these blessings. If you try to win His approval, act according to His commands. So those boys who come from Pakistan or India and leave their wives after marriage, and they leave their wives because some boys bring girls from Pakistan, and then later on they say, we don't like her. Then we were forced by parents to go ahead with this marriage. They should examine themselves that the boys for which these problems arise are of two types. Firstly, those who live here, they bring their wives from Asia, and sometimes they say, we will look at it whether our natures are compatible. And this is the thinking in this society, that first we should see whether we are compatible. If we don't find we are compatible, take divorce her. And then sometimes they don't even register their marriages, so that the girl may not have some legal protection. And by living here, they may not take legal action against us. And in such matters, even parents are equally liable. And this is how the girls also, when they come, they say that their actions show that they have no right to remain in the Jamaat. The other types of boys are those who come from outside and marry the girls here, and they try to immediately get married and register their marriage. Once it's registered and they have now got a visa and permanent residence, they start quarreling with their wives, and then they divorce her and then marry what they please. So though both type of these boys are moving away from righteousness. Do not be unjust to your own souls, and do not try to give a bad name to the Jamaat. Adhere to taqwa, righteousness, and follow righteousness. Allah says that those who commit such injustice, that there is a superior being on top of them, who is more powerful. Then another disease for which the homes are ruined, and there is a loss of peace and unrest in the homes, is that despite having the capacity, without reasonable excuse, they want to carry on living, even after marriage, in the same home. and that is with their parents and with their brothers and sisters. If the parents need their help, then it is necessary for the boy, and it is a duty that he should serve his parents and let them live with them. If they also have brothers and sisters who are living with them, then you have to set up a separate home. As a result of this, many problems arise. And by living together, if you have to involve in more sinful acts, this is not piety. Recently, there was a painful incident in some country, within the Jamaat, that is, that they were living together with the sister and brother, and they had extended family, and they were living in, each one had two rooms in the same house. Then there was a problem with the mother-in-law and the sister-in-law, and when the when the husband came in the evening, he said, your brother had done this or that. He did not investigate. He picked up a gun and killed their three brothers and sisters, and then killed himself. So four brothers died in the same home at the same time. So, if they are living together with love, for love and affection, if this is increasing hatred, then you have to separate and set up separate home. So, rather than be influenced by your feeling, you should use your reasons to make decisions. Laysa alal ama آرج حرجم ولا المریض حرجم ولا انفسکم ان تاکلوا بیوتکم او بیوت آبائکم او بیوت امہاتکم او بیوت اخوانکم that you did no harm that for the sick or the other, that you can eat from your homes or your mother's home or your brother's home or other relations' home. او تاکلو ان بیوتکم او بیوت آبائکم او بیوت امہاتکم that you should eat from your parents or from other homes. حضرت خلیفۃ المسیح the first says in this connection that in India mostly people complain about the quarrel between the mother-in-law and the son-in-law, sister or daughter-in-law. If they follow the command of Allah, and he says in this verses, which is to eat from homes, it means the mother's home is separate and the couple's, married couple's home is separate. Only then you will go in others' homes, visit other homes and eat there. So these people who think that if we separated from mother and father and set up different home, we will be committing a great sin. And the parents also put fear in the mind of their children, that as though that as soon as they set up separate home, they will deserve hell. This is a totally wrong action. By in front of their in mother-in-laws, they say we are living happily, but when you ask them privately, they say they are being forced to live with them. And the result is that then eventually either the daughter-in-law is being unjust to her mother-in-law, or the mother-in-law is being unjust to her daughter-in-law. Promised Messiah had come to spread love. So, being an Ahmadi, you should spread and promote this love and make effort for this rather than spread hatred. Many live with love, but those who cannot live together, they must not decide based on feelings. If you have the facility and there are options, then better it is that you should set up separate home. This is a most important point, that if it is necessary to live together, then why has the Holy Quran mentioned separate homes of parents? To serve them and to keep their needs in their mind, and not to feel bad about them, and not even to say a word of complaint against them. You need to adhere to that, and the wife and husband should keep in mind, and the husband should keep in view the respect of their in-laws, and the daughter and the wife has to keep in view the respect of their parents. The main factor is that you have to look after each other, and you have to avoid injustice, and no matter from which side it is being committed. Sometimes people are so unjust, men are so unjust, that by making false and extreme allegations, they are giving bad name to wife, or sometimes wives are doing injustice to them, but the husbands have more power, and because they have the responsibility of finances, they take more advantage. But you must remember, whatever benefit you are receiving, you are preparing fire of hell for yourself. Therefore, have fear of God and leave such evil acts. Some people have committed so much injustice, and they still call themselves Ahmadis, that they took their children and left for another country, and the mother is shouting and crying, and the relatives are helping such a father who has done this evil act. Such husbands and such relatives who are backing them, the Jamaat organization should take action and recommend some action against them by the Jamaat. And mother and the parents sometimes force their children and put wrong allegations, and the Holy Quran says you should not do. Then they incite their children so much that the boys are giving very low and disgraceful statement, and the parents say that you have done much against your mother, and have highlighted her misbehavior. You should see what is the teachings of the Holy Quran and what it says about the action of these people. Unfortunately, some office bearers are also helping such boys, and no one is following righteousness. So these allegations and the children's statement against their parents, which are most unjust, and they are destroying the morals of the children, and for their own ego they are pushing their children to fire. And sometimes the wife suffers so much that if there is an action taken and they have been expelled from the Jamaat, they do not worry. For their ego, they divorce their wife. Let me mention, by the way, with reference to Waqf-e-Nau, that if the parents have been expelled from the Jamaat, and if their child is of Waqf-e-Nau, that is also expelled automatically, and the Jamaat should take this in view, and Pakistan Jamaat does keep a record of that, but the Jamaats in other countries should also keep, and when they are forgiven, then you should, each child is also then consider whether he should be allowed to come back to Waqf-e-Nau. Therefore, it is necessary to keep such records. In any case, as I had said, that the main responsibility is to remove injustice and to establish justice. And to establish justice is the most important command of Allah, and the office bearers should also know its importance. Whichever Jamaat they are working, they are doing as a representative of the living caliph. Therefore, to fulfill all demands of justice is their foremost duty. It is most important duty that by knowing that Allah knows seen and the unseen, and you should do your discharge your duty. When you are doing decisions and when you are recommending to caliph, you should do above all kinds of feelings, personal feelings. So you should do recommendation with full justice, so that you are not unnecessarily supporting one party. And the party should also know, sometimes by taking their right, they make false statements, or rather we should say that they want unlawful rights. As I said before, at the time of engagement, you should keep the admonition of the Holy Quran, follow taqwa, follow the straight and unambiguous words, then such problems will never arise. Because if you are taking unlawful right, is lies. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, if you make me to make decision which is unlawful, then you are putting fire within you and also committing idolatry. So if you will go move away from righteousness, then certainly you will fall in the lap of idolatry. Therefore, by doing istighfar, seeking Allah's forgiveness, and seek Allah's forgiveness and mercy, and keep always fear of God in view, as I said, that when you have taken your children to other countries, your children, or have hidden them, or have given a wrong statement to the court and have snatched the children, Allah says that the mother, because of her child, must not be made to suffer. Neither should the husband, the father, be suffered because of his children. Allah says, if you will not follow righteousness and will not your duty to each other, then remember Allah knows everything. And He knows it, and He also watches it. And Allah does not let the wicked and unjust go without punishment. Therefore, you should always keep this in view, that as you have your mother's right on you, similarly your children have a right to their mother. Generally, these injustices are committed by fathers more, and our examination has shown that. Therefore, I am reminding the fathers that you should look after your wives and give them their right. Then generally the wives will obey you. Rather than breaking homes, there will be homes which will be showing great examples to the society. Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam wrote a letter of admonition to one of his disciple and says that I have heard about your friends who are sincere to you and have good faith about you, have heard that Prophet says, I have heard from your friends that in the social contact which you do with your wives and your household, you are very harsh, and sometimes you do not know the limits. I have not seen this complaint with amazement, because those who have told me are very close to you and love you. But Allah has given you a superiority over your wife, and if they want to use their rule without any reason, because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah and His Messenger has said that has told you to tolerate most about your wives. Therefore, I thought it necessary that a good man like you, I must tell you that Allah Jalla Shanahu says, "Ashiruhunna bil marufe," that you should live with them in such a way which should not be anything against moral value and not against ill behavior. You should regard them as your companion in this transitory world and be kind to them. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khairukum khairukum bi ahlihi," that the best among you is the one who treats his wife most kindly. And there is so much emphasis on good living that I cannot cover it all here. That a man's wife is weak which has been given in his charge, and he Allah watches that how the husband treats her. You should be lenient to her and always keep in mind that my wife is a temporary guest which has been allocated in my charge, and he is watching how far I can carry out my duties and conditions. I am a servant of God, so is she. What preference do I have, or superiority do I have? You must not be harsh to them, have mercy to them, and teach them religion. And I believe that the first trial of man's morals is his wife. Sometimes when I am little harsh to my wife, I tremble that a girl has been given in my charge from hundreds of miles away, and perhaps it happened because I am sinful. Therefore, I request my wife that you should pray to me that if this matter is against the pleasure of God, he should forgive me. I fear a great deal that we might not do some excessive acts. Therefore, I hope you will also the same. Our great master, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was so lenient to his wife. What can I write more? Wassalam. And then this was the closing of Promised Messiah's letter. May Allah making us follow his pleasure, and let us do discharge these good acts which his messenger and promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has told us about. Ameen.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.